So this morning's reading is from Romans chapter 1, beginning to read at verse 18. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness. Since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him. But their thinking became futile, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools, and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal man, and birds and animals and reptiles. Therefore God gave them over in the sinful desires of their hearts to sexual impurity for the degrading of their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. Amen. Because of this, God gave them over to shameful lusts. Even their women exchanged natural relations for unnatural ones. In the same way, the men also abandoned natural relations with women and were inflamed with lust for one another. Men committed indecent acts with other men and received in themselves the due penalty for their perversion. Furthermore, since they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, he gave them over to a deprived mind, to do what ought not to be done. They have become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity. They're full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. They're gossips, slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, and boastful. They invent ways of doing evil. They disobey their parents. They are senseless, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Although they know God's righteous decree that those who do such things deserve death, they not only continue to do these very things, but also approve of those who practice them. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Lord God, we thank you for Sheila. We thank you that she is an instrument of your gospel. We pray that you would use the words, the thoughts that she has prepared to speak into our hearts and into our lives. Lord, do that work through your Holy Spirit at work in your church. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you. Good morning. You know, my heart rather sank when I discovered what I had to preach on this morning. Can you imagine why? The wrath of God. You know, and the gentleman who gave me it are sitting down there listening. It's just not fair, is it? You know. But so what on earth is the wrath of God? What does it mean in our lives today? I want to start this by reading some verses which we haven't read this morning, came just before that, because I think it's important to get this at the beginning and get it at the end. I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. First for the Jew, then for the Gentile. For in the gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith, from first to last. Just as it is written, the righteous live by faith. The gospel. That's where we start with everything, isn't it? The gospel of our Lord Jesus. The way Jesus makes us right with him. That's what we celebrated last weekend, wasn't it? With the crucifixion and the resurrection of Jesus. We need to keep it in mind when we consider the wrath of God, because that is our answer. Our God is love, isn't he? So how on earth do we come to terms with his wrath? Do we consider it an Old Testament term? When perhaps the time when his chosen people turned against him over and over again and all sorts of things happened to them, plagues arrived on them and all sorts of things like that? Or perhaps when other nations attacked his people and they were practically annihilated, weren't they? This is difficult for us, isn't it, to grasp all of that? It's hard stuff when we read it. I've just recently read the book of Amos. If you want to know about God's wrath, read Amos. It's really quite hard to read some of it in the understanding of Jesus that we have. But what I did was I started to try to understand exactly what the wrath of God was. One of the words the dictionary uses is anger. So is God angry with the world? We might be angry with the world and all the things that are happening in it. Do you ever get angry? Oh, yes, I know I do, and it's awful, isn't it? I'm not sure that we can really, though, put that sort of anger that we get on the same level as God's anger. Human anger, although there is such a thing as righteous indignation about injustice, our anger often isn't like that, is it? It's often irrational and uncontrollable. Have you been there? Yeah, I would be surprised if you haven't. We all have, haven't we? It's a terrible emotion sometimes. God's anger won't be like that. It is righteous indignation at the world that he created, what we have done with his creation. God loves. He offers mercy and grace. But the other extreme of that is his wrath, and we've got to get hold of that. Which I think is his reaction to evil. He absolutely abhors sin and evil. So when his wrath is revealed, it is against the horrors of sin and evil in our world today. Paul starts this passage with something I think we probably have quoted before. I'm going to read it from the Message translation of the Bible. Just a little bit different. But God's angry displeasure erupts as acts of human mistrust and wrongdoing and lying accumulate, as people try to put a shroud over truth. But the basic reality of God is plain enough. Open your eyes, and there it is. By taking a long and thoughtful look at what God has created, people have always been able to see what their eyes as such can't see. Eternal power, for instance, and the mystery of his divine being. So nobody has an excuse. It's there. Who God is and what he has done is plain to see in creation. His glory is revealed in the world around us. He makes himself known in what he has created. It's a regular theme in Scripture. We're told the heavens declare the glory of God. Have you stared at the night sky and just thought of the glory of God and his creation? And again it says, and the whole earth is full of his glory. Do we see it? It's there. We see the natural order of the created world and the continuance of it. You know, when I watch nature programs, I'm always amazed at how one part of nature works with another. God sends rain and sun and crops grow. Not long ago, I read an article on the moon, and I can't find it. I've looked everywhere. Beth, I expect you've got it somewhere, because we talked about it together. But, you know, this article said that if the moon was just a tiny little bit out of place from where it is now, we wouldn't be able to breathe. I just find things like that incredible. If we look at God's creation, how can we say there is no God over all of this? And you see, when people don't see that, that's when things start going wrong, isn't it? They go wrong in the world itself. We talk a lot about that, don't we, about our recycling and the plastic and all that sort of thing. Things go wrong when we don't look at God for things, when we don't clearly see him, when we ignore him. The things went wrong in Paul's time, didn't they? You can see that by what he wrote there. I'm not going into all those things that he wrote down there today. If you want to hear about them, I know Ian's going to go into them at the next service when he has a little bit longer. But I'm not going to. You can read those. You know what our world is like today. And I'm sure you could add things to that list that you'd want to see, because it happens today, doesn't it, in our world. But you see, God gives us all the right to ignore him or follow him. It's our choice. But when we ignore him, we see the things that cause pain and cause difficulties. We see them clearly when we read our newspapers, don't we? Turn on the television. As God's people, it hurts us to see suffering in our world today. Did you see the news this morning? It was awful. So many people killed in so many horrible ways. How must that hurt God? Let's carry on a little bit, thinking about ourselves and how we might fit in to all of this. What is St. Paul trying to say to us today? We know that God is a God of love, of mercy, and of forgiveness. You know, last week some of us have been to Spring Harvest at the conference centre. We've had an amazing week as we've heard wonderful teaching about God. But what was so obvious was God's love in everything, everything that was said and everything we did. Who was there last Tuesday night when the Archbishop of York spoke? Oh yes, I've got a few hands up. You can do this with me then, okay, and get everybody doing it. How much does God love you? This much, okay, you can all do it. How much does God love you? This much. Realise that. Realise God's heart is for you. He wants you to love him back. He wants you to experience his love and live in that love in our world today. But to go back further, God in his mercy somehow knew, didn't he, what would happen in this world. So his plan was for Jesus to come into the world and help us. He came as that vulnerable baby into a messy world. Jesus showed us what God was like, and he showed us how to live as God wanted us to live. He did that by the things he did, by the things he said, by the way he dealt with every situation that he came into. You see, God had already given his people guidelines for living way back, hadn't he? The Ten Commandments. They're so important. You know, it's so easy to think of those being a God who stands there giving rules out, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. And I just wonder sometimes if that's really how God said it. Because people think of us as Christians and think, oh, there's certain things you can't do, isn't there? You can't do this, you can't do that. Wouldn't want to be a Christian. Just look at some of those commandments for just a second. Jesus said, I am the Lord your God. That's how he starts. I am the Lord your God. You shall have no gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol. You shall not misuse my name. Remember the Sabbath day. And then, you know, you shan't murder. Don't. You shall not kill. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. They seem very strong commands. But how is God saying them? Somebody said this to me a very long time ago and it stuck with me. He said, I am the Lord your God, I love you. Don't have any more gods before me. Don't make an idol. Don't misuse my name. Remember the Sabbath day, you need a rest. Please don't murder. Please don't steal. Do you see how he's saying it? He's saying it in such a way that he's saying, these are for you. These are to help you live a brilliant life. It'll be so much better for you and for everyone around us if you live like this. It's a loving God who says that, who speaks to us. And Jesus, of course, told us the two most important commandments were loving God first and then our neighbour as ourselves. Jesus didn't just show us and tell us, though, did he? He made a way for us to deal with it all. He gave up his life, dying on the cross, bearing the sin of the whole world. We want to live his way, but we get it wrong, don't we? We make mistakes. None of us here could say we didn't need to say that prayer of forgiveness this morning, because that's just who we are, isn't it? But he offers forgiveness. That's the wonderful thing. And if we are Christians and have given our lives to follow him, then we are forgiven people, and his Holy Spirit lives in us. And we can keep on being forgiven when we make the mistakes. We simply have to ask. If we don't know Jesus, oh, we really must. There's no other way to live. So what do we do? Well, I think we start with ourselves. Are we living as God wants us to live? We've possibly been Christians a long time, some of us, and we know the presence and the power of God in our lives. But it's good sometimes, isn't it, to stop and consider. Are we walking as Jesus wants us to walk? Are there things in our lives that, with his help, we need to change? He has given us his Holy Spirit to help us live our lives worthy of him, to share the good news with those around us wherever we can. We may not be able to change the world overnight, will we? We won't go out there thinking, yes, God is right, and look around, see him. It's not going to make a difference suddenly. But we start where we are, with who we are, and we take God into every situation that we find ourselves. We give to others what we know and experience in our hearts. That's the point, isn't it? We have to know it and experience it in our hearts. Then we can shed it abroad to others. So that's the question for us today. Are we walking right with God? Or are there things we need to put right in our lives? I know for me, I've been a Christian so many years, I'm not going to tell you, but there are always things God calls me upon. Come on, get this sorted, get this sorted. And when I do, he can use me so much more. I know I want to be sure that I'm walking and living as he wants me to, so that he can use me well. And that's my prayer for each one of us today. Let's put a smile on God's face as we totally surrender to him and walk and live as he wants us to. Shall we pray together? God, our Father, we do thank you for your amazing love for each one of us. Lord, if we haven't really grasped the enormity of that, then I pray that you will touch our hearts today with that amazing love. But also you will challenge our minds and our thoughts for things that perhaps you want to change, that will just make us stronger and people who can really share your love wherever we go. So just come, Holy Spirit, and minister to us now, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen.